Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the West Coast Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Frias Guzman. Welcoming everybody. Today is Friday, May 2nd, 2024. Just want to welcome everyone. May 3rd, I think, if I'm not mistaken, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Hold on. Yeah, sorry. Excuse me, guys. I'm getting my days all mixed up and everything. I unfortunately didn't record Wednesday or Thursday. I wanted to make sure to record a podcast for you guys today. As there has been, just some news when it comes down to the Dodgers. Unfortunately, with the Lakers, their season got cut a little bit short as far as what I kind of predicted. I really thought that the Lakers had a good chance to make a deep playoff run. And, I mean, of course, you have to go and play the opponent that you have in front of you at first. But, I'll definitely talk about the Lakers into the season. Just kind of, things that I picked up on throughout the season. Things that I kind of can mention to a few of you guys who are not, play people who watch the every single game or anything like that. Not to say that I do. I have way too much of a busy life in order to really watch every single game. But for the most part, I try my best to go ahead and at least watch every single game, or to at least watch some highlights or some parts of the game as well, in order to go ahead and give you guys the best content that I can. But also, this is also coming from, the national media, some of the local beat writers that of the Lakers. I follow a lot of them, and I tend to kind of get a grasp of how they're feeling, of how they're kind of portraying everything. So I'll definitely talk to you guys all about that. The other things that I'm going to be bringing up, I ended up watching a podcast with Gardner Minshew. It was on Max Crosby's podcast. If you guys want to watch it, if you guys aren't doing so already, definitely check it out. He has a lot of good people that he brings onto the show. Most recently, I saw the one that he ended up bringing the new quarterback for the Raiders, Gardner Minshew. So I'll talk to you guys a little bit about that, why I think that he's going to be a really good addition to the team, why I think he actually couldn't be the starting quarterback, not necessarily losing his starting position to Aiden O'Connell. Also talking about a number change when it comes down to that. And then, of course, we'll be talking about the Dodgers as they are getting ready to gear up going against the Atlanta Braves. They got Charlie Morton going up against them today, and we got Galvin Stone on the mound for us today. So definitely a great matchup, definitely a great series, I believe. Always whenever the Dodgers and the Braves go at it, it always seems like it's a great series, whether if it's in the playoffs or the regular season. So we'll definitely talk about that on today's episode. Speaking of which, today's episode is episode 171, guys. Yeah, 171. I definitely want to appreciate every single one of you guys who have been rolling with me throughout this entire time. I have now been doing this podcast, I think, now for about, 2, 3, 4 years now or something like that, 2, 3 years. And it's been really, really fun. I've enjoyed every single bit of it, and I really appreciate every single one of you guys who listen to it. Also, guys, if you guys are trying to find me on Instagram, you guys are trying to find me on Facebook or my email account. Facebook and my email account is going to be the same as the podcast, West Coast Sports Podcast. If you're trying to hit me up on my Gmail account, it's just westcoastsportspodcast@gmail.com. And if you're trying to find me on Instagram, it's westcoastpod702. And then I'll also be tagging my wife's page, Rosie's Designs EST2022. In case you guys want to go ahead and follow her, if you guys have any questions on any kind of chip bags or kind of celebration designs or anything like that, I'll also be tagging her on my Instagram page as well. So with that being said, guys, let's get right into it. I really just want to kind of get this one over with when it comes down to the Lakers. As you guys can tell, I'm really not excited to go ahead and talk about the Lakers ending their season a little bit early and everything. It is unfortunate just the way that it happened. It's unfortunate that it came to the hand of the Denver Nuggets again. I guess on the bright side, you can say that, yeah, that maybe they made it a little bit more competitive and everything, And that's all in dandy. That's all nice and everything. But, I mean, unless if they would have won, I don't think any real Laker fan would have been content with what ended up happening there, right? Now, I mean, You got to tip your hat to them. The Denver Nuggets are just a better team, especially not beating us twice in a row, 2 years in a row like this. Them having that kind of a record going up against us, it just seems like they have our number, But regardless of whatever the case is, the whole talk about last season was, oh, give this core a whole off season, give them a whole season to work together, and for the most part, that worked out. you definitely saw some bright spots. You definitely saw some times where this team, you know, definitely built some cohesiveness, definitely ended up building some consistency, you know, and were able to go ahead and really, you know, showcase that they are a really good team, you know. But then there was a lot of times where it's just, you know, it's unfortunate whenever you have an aging superstar like a LeBron James, who rightfully so, this guy deserves to go ahead and, you know, take a play off here and there, you know, camp out in the corner, guard a guy who's in the corner, or pass up the ball to somebody else to go and run the offense for a little while. I'm pretty sure this guy has maybe deserved that for at least a little bit, right? But you know, when you see him kind of, you know, having a little bit of, not even a lack of focus, but just if he's just trying to take a play or two off, it just seems like the whole rest of the team follows that mentality, follows that direction. And I don't know about you guys, but it's just, it gets so frustrating. You know, you start to see that the team and themselves just are okay with you know, being up by 20, but then losing it, you know, 5 points at a time, you know, just giving up big time leads instead of making it easy on themselves, you know, instead of just keeping your foot on the gas pedal, and then in the fourth quarter letting your bench squad go in and take over, letting them go ahead and if the lead gets rid of or goes away at that point, then I mean, hopefully building up enough of a lead, you know. But again, that's other stuff. That's a whole regular season, you know. There's just plenty of times where you just saw that, lots of leads getting taken away, and all I can really do is just chalk that up to the coaching. I saw yesterday, if you guys didn't see yesterday's game, the Knicks and the 76ers, the 76ers were up for the majority of that game except for really the first quarter. The Knicks came out hot in that first quarter and ended up really kind of building up a little bit of or creating some separation between them. Then things kind of flipped around. You started to see that the 76ers were making their way back, and they actually even ended up holding a lead for pretty much the majority of the game until like maybe like right around the end of the third quarter. Then you start seeing in the fourth quarter that the Knicks have a small lead for the majority of the fourth quarter. You start thinking that, damn, things are just slipping away from the 76ers. And need I remind you, this was an elimination game for the 76ers. You would think these guys are going to go all out. These guys are going to play their hardest in order to make sure that they do not get eliminated, especially at home. So you start to see that, you know, things are starting to go the Knicks way. They're making shots. They're playing hard defense, and they're making the Sixers miss. Then you see this, I don't want to call it a questionable foul. It was a foul regardless. There was a foul. The Knicks end up getting, you know, or the 76ers get called the foul. You start to see that the 76ers, they're starting to lose the game. You know, the game is starting to slip out of their hands. And you see that Nick Nurse, the head coach of the 76ers, he has his hands on his head. This dude is frantic. He has no idea what to do anymore because he knows that the game is slipping away. So what does he do? He calls a timeout. Now, that's one thing that I don't think I've seen Darvin Ham do this much at all last season or this season, especially in the playoffs. And that's the thing that really pissed me off, because it's like, how are you going to go through a whole game damn well knowing that your team is losing momentum, that they're losing this game, that this game is slipping away from you, and you're not going to call a timeout? Come on now. That just makes me think that either one, you're just oblivious to it and you don't know how to do your job right, or you don't understand that, or two, you're just that damn naive that you really think that this team, and don't get me wrong, some teams, they are capable of doing that. Now, the Lakers, they were able to do that before when they had Phil Jackson, and he was notorious for doing that. But you had a whole different class of players back then. You know, because you had a lot of smart players, anywhere from Derek Fisher. This guy was very, very intelligent. This guy knew what the outcome of the game could be like. This guy had a very, very high IQ of basketball. You, of course, had Kobe Bryant, another guy who had a very high IQ of basketball. You had even Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal, another great guy with a high IQ of basketball. Even Robert Horry, who had a very high IQ of basketball. That's my thing, is like when you've got a whole collective of great basketball players with high IQs of basketball and who can understand momentum and things like that slipping away, then that's when you got something good. That's when you can actually go in and let them know, hey, play it out, figure it out on your own, you know. But maybe that's just me. A lot of people have been talking about, you know, there's all these different moves that are going to be able to happen and all these different changes that can happen. I don't want to speculate too much on it, to be honest, guys. There's too many rumors, too many things that can definitely happen. People are talking about, you know, if Bron is going to stay, he's going to go, whatever the case is. I don't know. I don't even think he knows, to be honest with you. I'm pretty sure he's going to wait to go in and see what his son's going to want to do, what Bronny's going to want to do, if he's actually going to go into the draft, or he's going to go ahead and just stick it out another year in USC basketball. In my opinion, I think it's better off that he sticks it out and plays another year, maybe get some more playing time. It seems like in the NCAA tournament, he was actually getting some run, so you definitely want to see maybe him getting a whole season of getting some really good playing time. But I don't know. The word from a lot of NBA teams, it's really like they'll take him, but they'll take him because for the chance of getting LeBron. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go in and take a handout like that. And that's the way it sounds like to me. It sounds like, you know, a team is willing to just give him an NBA contract because that means that his dad's going to come along with him. And that to me, that just doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like the type of reputation or the type of narrative I want around me. But again, that's just me. Regardless of the fact, if he does decide to go into the NBA, definitely that's going to be one of the most pivotal things that's going to, you know, persuade LeBron James into going one way or another. I've seen a lot of speculations about him going somewhere else, and that he's going to bring along a couple other players. People talking about that, oh, Kevin Durant's going to come with the Lakers, all this other stuff. I don't even know, to be honest. There's so many different rumors, and rightfully so, or just like how it is every single year, the Lakers always have a bunch of rumors surrounding them. All kinds of different players are always connected to them. So definitely just have to wait and see exactly what happens. Once something does happen, we'll definitely talk more and more about it. But in all honesty, Laker fans, there's no use in really stressing yourself over all this stuff. Next year there's going to be a whole new batch of players, whether if it is players that we're familiar with or that are brand new to the team, they're going to have to roll them out and play another season. So just wait to see what happens. Hopefully that they move in the right kind of direction in order to go ahead and compete for another championship and be able to go ahead and go deep into the playoffs and do that. But we'll have to wait and see. Once some changes actually happen and once some things move around or change, I'll definitely be happy to go and talk to you guys about that. So with that being said, though, guys, speaking of moving on, speaking of, you know, things getting started and everything, let's go and talk about the Raiders here for a moment. So, guys, Raiders just ran in the middle of their offseason. Sounds like, you know, pretty much the what's the word I'm looking for? Training camp and everything and all the warm-ups, all this stuff is going to be happening pretty soon. You have a lot of players just kind of working out individually on their own, of course, right now for the offseason. But you're going to get the point where all the teams, all the players are going to be called in to their practice facilities and get that started. Then you're going to start to see or start to hear all the different position battles and everything and this and that. Honestly, I mean, there's a couple different ones. I mean, I can definitely see the Raiders rolling out two different tight ends, but it's going to be interesting to see which of the two. In my opinion, I think it is going to be Brock Bowers who's going to get the majority of the passes rather than Mike Mayer. But I do see Mike Mayer being a big end zone target for either Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. And speaking of which, that is definitely going to be another position battle that I'm going to keep a close eye on. I ended up watching Max Crosby's podcast this morning, or just bits and pieces of it, really. And I got some really good nuggets, you know, from Gardner Minshew. I mean, overall, this guy he's a guy who likes football. He's a guy who is there to compete, there to get better. He's not there to go ahead and, you know, make anybody look bad. So he's always saying that he's going to go ahead and provide as much, you know, knowledge to Aiden O'Connell. Being that they're both young, though, it seems like they're really just going to go ahead and take this opportunity to learn from each other, be able to go ahead and just compete. And in all honesty, I think in the spirit of competition, that's how you get better. You know, if you have a good, if you have some good competition going up against you, even if they beat you, you're going to learn from that opportunity. You're going to learn from that experience, in my opinion. But, I mean, that's how I always learned when I was younger and I was playing basketball, even just playing on the streets in front of my house. One of my neighbors, him and his brother at times would come on by and they would come in and play with a couple of us younger kids. But they would, you know, even though that they were older, you know, we would think, oh, we have the advantage, you know, we're younger, we're faster and this and that. But they, you know, of course, have developed skills over the years that know how to go and counteract those things, you know. And you definitely appreciate the fact that, you know, you have, when you have that opportunity to learn, even if you're getting beat, you should be able to find the opportunities to be able to learn, you know. So if you have Gardner Minshew or you have Aiden O'Connell, who, whichever one of them, if it seems like they're going to be losing the position battle, hopefully they use that as an opportunity to learn and to get better themselves. And that's what I kind of liked about with Gardner Minshew, is that he's over there, he's like, hey, I'm going to help out. I'm going to try to help out Aiden as much as I can. We're going to be competitive. We're going to go in and compete for the same position, of course. But at the end of the day, whichever quarterback the coaching staff thinks is better and better off to go in and give us those wins, that's who we have to roll with. And if it's better for the team, you know. But he does think that he's the one that's going to be able to go and do so. And I like that. I like the guy who has confidence. Of course, he's humble and of course he's realistic. You know, he understands that, you know, there is going to be a battle for the position. But in my opinion, I do think he is the better quarterback. Even from what he's done in his rookie season all the way up to this point, what he did last season with the Colts, you definitely see that this guy is a really good quarterback, that he has a lot of potential. He has the ability to be able to get the ball into his playmakers' hands and let them do their work. He already has had a lot of conversations, it sounds like, with Devontae Adams. Sounds like he's going to have a great relationship right there. He's a guy who's not afraid to go in and throw the ball out there. He's very accurate with the ball too, is what I really like. He's not a guy who really throws a whole lot of interceptions or anything, you know. So definitely great to go in and see that the Raiders picked up this guy. From the sounds of it, it sounds like, you know, it was a mutual thing. He really wanted to be a Raider. It sounds like the Raiders were his first choice, and vice versa. Gardner Minshew was the Raiders' first choice in a quarterback in the free agency. And it's definitely was great to go in and see that overall the Raiders wanted to address the quarterback position. And don't get me wrong, I mean, yeah, it would have been nice to go in and pick up our quarterback of the future and everything in this year's draft. Things happen the way that they happen, but in all honesty, Gardner Minshew is not a bad person or a bad quarterback to pick up. You know, this is a quarterback who's done very well. He did very well in his rookie season. Hasn't really had any bad seasons, honestly, since then. I mean, it's, in my opinion, I think it's really going to be interesting. It's going to be good to go ahead and see this guy to, you know, be lined up or to be played, to be partnered up with really great players. You know, hopefully a great offensive line that can protect him, and so that way he can really get that ball out of his hands as quick as possible and into the hands of his playmakers. You're going to see that he's going to have a lot of different running backs in order to going to be able to utilize in this game as well. And hopefully the defense can provide a lot of support for him as well, and not having to go in and, you know, sling the ball around all the time, you know, and hopefully be able to go in and, you know, clock manage, because he does seem overall like a really, really intelligent guy, has a deep, deep understanding of the game. And overall, I mean, what I ended up getting from the guy, he's a guy who just likes to play football. He's a guy who likes to be out there, joke around, have fun, be focused, take the game very, very serious and everything. And he was mentioning that that's one of the main reasons why he wanted to be a Raider. He saw that that's the mentality that they kind of have, you know, especially with some of the players that they have, like Devontae Adams, like Max Crosby, you know, even from Antonio Pierce. You know, he's a guy who loves football, of course, but he loves the camaraderie, you know, that you get from football, you know, being able to have that brotherhood of football, being there with your boys and being able to compete each week and have that opportunity to go ahead and give Raider Nation a victory. You know, he really talks about how he's, you know, very supportive of this fan base. And you definitely like that, because he's come from a couple different teams that have some really good fan bases. I know the Colts, they have really, really great fan base. You know, guys, are their fan base is very, humble. You know, they're very nice. They're not like the obnoxious, loud ones. But if you lose, they'll make you feel it, you know. And you're going to get the same thing, of course, with the Raider Nation. But I think you're going to get a whole group of fans that are just even that much more passionate. You know, I think that's one of the things that, being a Raider fan, I can definitely say easily that we as Raider fans definitely have the highest level of passion towards our team. And it's not even maybe towards the team, so to say. It's towards the fan base. You know, Raider Nation, we're all about Raider Nation. And it's almost been like in the past, I don't know how many years, you know, that we've been waiting. And maybe it's been different because now with Antonio Pierce and this whole new regime, that, you know, we embrace this team. We embrace the team that they have put out there, because, in all honesty, for the past couple of years, it's been kind of eh. You know, we embrace them because they are Raider Nation and everything, but we embrace them in a different level, I think, now at this point, now with Antonio Pierce, because it's almost like we feel like there is one of us there. You know, Antonio Pierce from the very beginning has always said, you know, I am a Raider. I was born to be a Raider, this and that. Or I was born to do this. You know, he talked about how he grew up being a Raider fan and this and that. You know, so you definitely like that. You definitely like to go and see that. And you definitely like to go and see that they are picking up players that have that same mentality. You know, I see up and down this roster, and all I see is just Raiders, Raiders, Raiders. Even though they weren't Raiders at all times, but these guys, they fit the mold. They fit the description of what a Raider should be. You know, guys who are not scared to go and be aggressive and to be out there and show some force and be, you know, just be dominant. But and also to go ahead and, you know, put a little fear in the opponent's faces, you know, to put a little fear in them, you know. And overall, I mean, I think they've done a great job to going to be able to do so with this new squad that they have, you know. But maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just blowing a whole bunch of smoke or something like that, you know, whatever the case is. I promise you guys, I haven't done my wake and bake yet, so I'm not tripping. No, I'm kidding. But in all honesty, guys, this team definitely looks like they have the right kind of pieces in order to go and do something. Now, of course, super, super early. There's definitely some time to go in and go through, but you're starting to see, you know, the main core of this team, and you're like, they got some pieces. They got some playmakers. Maybe they can piece it all together. So now, let's wait to see how the season goes on, right? Let's go. We'll take it day by day, of course. I'll definitely give you guys some more updates as the season goes on, as the off season goes on, and once we get closer and closer to the regular season. So with that being said, though, guys, I do want to go and just switch gears, go ahead and talk to you guys really quick about the Dodgers. As the Dodgers are getting ready to gear up against the Atlanta Braves, they are going to be having Galvin Stone up on the mound, going up against Charlie Morton, our old friend Charlie Morton. In the past years, I mean, maybe few years behind, Charlie Morton was definitely a little bit better. I'm actually trying to think if I'm getting these two guys mixed up, because they have similar names. But this guy has really never been all that great. He's had a little bit of success, with the Dodgers, or going up against the Dodgers. But for the most part, the Dodgers have kind of dominated him. You know, they owned him in a way. So you definitely want to see if Galvin Stone is able to go in and pitch another decent game. I don't really expect them to go out there and pitch a gem, especially going up against a team like the Braves. The Braves are definitely a great, great team. They are hard hitting. Definitely can expect some runs, but the Dodgers offense has been nothing but great at this point. You know, they have had some games here and there where maybe the offense is a little lackluster, but as of late, offense has been doing their thing. You have everybody, not just the top of the lineup or anything like that. As I mentioned in a couple other podcasts, you have the middle and the bottom of the lineup even doing their thing. So when you really get the bottom of the lineup going, because that sets up the top of the lineup so perfectly. Imagine you're coming up Mookie, Otani, and Freeman coming up, but you already have at least one or two players on base with no outs, or maybe even just one out or something like that. That's incredible. you know, when you have those opportunities to win, to go and have those players on base for the big bats in the beginning of the lineup, definitely a big deal. So, you know, when it comes down to it, the Dodgers have been doing really great. Definitely hoping just that they can pick things up and they can keep things going. You see, even if you guys ended up seeing yesterday, Walker Buehler is expected to come back pretty soon. I believe he's going to be able to make his May 6th debut, which I think is going to be, it's Monday, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Monday or two. Yeah, it's Monday, Monday, May 6th. So definitely great to go in and see that. I'm definitely going to be all over that game. I can't wait to go in and see him pitch. I can't wait to see how his mechanics are, how his velocity is, whether if he's going to be looking like the old Walker Buehler, which I definitely expect. So, it sounds like he's definitely taking his time to going to come on back, and it's to make sure that he's 110%, because we definitely don't want to go in and have a young guy like that to continue to get hurt or to continue to go in and have issues like this. He's been our ace at one point, you know, so to have multiple aces, I mean, right now you can definitely say that Tyler Glasnow is our ace. And then to have a guy who has once at one point been our ace to come back and now have two aces, wow. And you even have a guy like Clayton Kershaw, who for the longest time he has been our ace, you know, in our pitching rotation. Then you're going to even include a guy like a Dustin May, like a Tony Gonsolin over here, who are also really great. I don't even know. Like, it's going to be incredible to go in and see exactly what this pitching rotation is going to look like. You know, having so many different arms to go in and throw out there. Definitely interesting to go in and see how Dave Roberts is going to go in and kind of maneuver this or kind of move things around. But I would definitely have to keep an eye out on all that. We definitely want to just keep it going game by game. My definite prediction on this is that the Dodgers definitely come out with a victory. We would have to go in and see exactly how everything kind of shakes out and go from there. Now the Braves are definitely not something to go ahead and you know, just bat your eyes out and think that it's going to be an easy day in the park and everything and this and that. Galvin Stone definitely has his work cut out. I would definitely focus on keeping everything low as possible. Try to prevent them from being able to get some really good leverage on a ball and being able to hit it out of the park. I think that's really that his thing with Galvin Stone is that he can allow some really hard hitting balls, or he can allow, you know, some hits to kind of get strung on, you know, pick up a few of them at a time. Not just one hit or something like that. You know, it's more of a, you know, he gets hit in bunches kind of deal. Now, it is going to be interesting. It's I'm going to keep a close eye on seeing exactly how he pitches and how he does, how quick maybe Dave Roberts ends up pulling him. I really don't think it's going to be much more than five innings, kind of the norm as of right now, you know. But we'll, I'll keep an eye on the game. I'll talk to you guys more about the game tomorrow. I really just wanted to go in and just kind of recap the game, just give you guys a quick preview, as there's 162 of these, and where I think we're only maybe like 20 something, 30 something down or something like that. Maybe not that much, to be honest with you. But we'll talk more and more as the season goes on and as the games go on, and give you guys more and more updates once players start coming back and everything as well. But I am going to cut this one here today. Just kind of cut it a little bit short. Definitely appreciate every single one of you who have been listening to the podcast and continue to listen to the podcast. I'll most likely talk to you guys on Monday, as I will be taking the weekend off from recording and everything, unless if there's something big that comes up. But until next time, guys, I hope you guys have a great Friday, and hopefully you guys have a great weekend. Take care. Peace.